and move on to 14-1586, Progressive Casualty v. Liberty Mutual.
I just want to move some appendages.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Am I correct that the only issue here is the priority decision?
That's correct.
Okay.
This is 1586-598. Okay. Your Honor, the sole issue is the priority of the claims based on the 650 application. It is a claim construction issue, which is reviewable de novo because there were no underlying fact determinations that were made that would make this anything other than a claim construction issue. If we look at the board's construction first of interface module, because that's the first place where we find error, each of the experts, Zapkovich at 3236, A3236, paragraph 43, Andrews at A2458, paragraph 23, talked about what an interface module is and suggested that it's simply software that enables database access. Neither required a display. Now, the court may remember the sort of back and forth, tangled approach to how this came to be in the final written decision. At page 33 of our blue brief, we lay out what was in the initial petition, which is the driver safety score and driver safety data. That's what Liberty suggested were bases for lack of priority. Then instead of narrowing the issues, the board went beyond those to add interface module, database, server receiver interface, and selective onboard vehicle data. And then narrowed to interface module.
Can I just ask you a process question along the lines of the question that Judge Toronto posed earlier? If hypothetically we were to agree with the board that the substantial evidence supports the finding that the 650 application doesn't describe calculating a driver safety score, does that take care of the questions with regard to interface module and driver safety score to those issues? Do those issues go away, or do we have to deal with them as well?
Each of the issues requires support, so both interface module and driver safety score, but under the appropriate claim construction. But
the absence of support for the driver safety score would mean that you're not entitled to the 650 priority date.
It would mean we're not entitled. There's also driver safety data for claim 33.
Let's combine them for a minute.
So if you combine driver safety data and driver safety score, that's correct.
How does projecting an estimated cost of insurance necessarily require generating a driver safety score?
I think our position on driver safety score is really that it's a classification rating, not necessarily rejecting, or what did the court say, please?
I said, how does projecting
a cost of insurance? We rely in two parts for driver safety score. Again, recognizing that it does not need to be a calculated driver safety score. We rely on A225 at 21 to 23 that discusses processing the raw data elements to generate either the calculated or derived data elements. And we rely on A212 at 15 through 18, which discusses actual operating characteristics to provide a classification rating for an operator. And that is a classification rating being a risk value. And what the board said about driver safety score, turn to that. The driver safety score at A19, the board said, was a calculated insurance risk value associated with driver safety. A rating is a risk value, but we suggest it does not need to be calculated. And the reason that we argue that, Your Honor, on driver safety score is because the example let's say it this way. The word calculated appears nowhere in the claim language. In fact, what the claim talks about, and this is a claim that discusses processing as well, is that it only needs to be a processed insurance risk value associated with driver safety. There's nothing that says it has to be calculated, that it has to come up to be a number. In fact, it can be high, low, excessive, or prolonged, as the spec says at A107, column 11, lines 44 to 61. So calculated is unnecessary in the construction. When calculated is removed, it's clear that a rating factor, a classification rating, is a risk value and provides support for the driver safety score. One thing that's also a consideration here is that the board had interpreted, even under the board's interpretation of calculated, they found sufficient support in what was the Macmillan patent, the 134 patent, which has the same specification, the same language as the 650 in pertinent part. They found that that supported calculating the scaled score from an abstract score. So the board has already found in other prosecution that it's sufficient disclosure even for calculated. But as we say, calculated is not necessary for the driver's safety score. It was an error in claim construction. As I was explaining to the court about the way in which the procedure occurred here, the shifting grounds are really one of the issues in this appeal that caused concern for Progressive. The fact that the grounds, instead of being narrowed as they should be in a CBM, were in fact expanded and then changed again into the final written decision. The final written decision appears to rely on interface modules and require that an interface module have some type of display. Now, in the board's own decisions about in the discussion of interface modules, as I said, it's merely software that enables database access. The board found that there were interface modules at A22. In fact, that there were several interface modules. And it said that there were three online interface modules. What the board appeared to do, without making a careful claim construction, and this is where we have to infer, because it wasn't laid out properly, is to require a display. And the absence of a display is what prevents there from being an interface module. So if you look at figure 5, which is depicted on A22, the board says that the arrow that goes between 518 and 530, the data storage and the charges algorithm, is the arrow that shows the transfer of data. You know, and most of the arrow between the data storage 518 and charges algorithm 530 shows the transfer of data. So that at least is there with respect to the charges algorithm, although the board goes on to say that there must be some type of display. Display is not required for a proper interpretation of interface module. There was no requirement of a display any place in the specification. There was no...
But that's not an essential basis of the board's conclusion. That is, if it were wrong to suggest that a rendering requires an actual display, that doesn't mean it's
essential. but it's essential with respect to interface modules. There is the further discussion as relates to driver safety score. And so as we discussed before, the argument can hinge on driver safety score. An interface module is clearly wrong, we believe, because all of those three examples are interface modules. We were trying to construct some sensibility of the board's decision because it appears to relate to interface module. It's captioned as interface module. And then instead of discussing interface module itself, it goes on to discuss, well, there's a necessity for a display, or there should be a driver safety score, or there should be driver safety data. So we treat those separately, driver safety data and driver safety score.
So, I mean, the claim requires an interface module that does a bunch of different things, so the board, in its opinion, is walking through the various things that it finds not to be done by anything
and
that might
not,
be an interface module.
And the not to be... I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, no, go ahead.
And the not to be done is really that it doesn't have the driver safety score or driver safety data. It's commingled the two in a fashion that makes it difficult to understand what the board was doing. But to the point of driver safety score, as we said, if you conclude that a driver safety score has to be calculated, for instance, that would also, and it had to be numeric, would render claim 41, which talks about a single numeric value, superfluous. A single numeric value is a type of driver safety score, but it doesn't have to be a calculated or numerical value, as Liberty suggests.
And your position is that an estimated cost is one kind of driver safety score. Is that, am I understanding that?
And a rating factor also, a classification rating, which creates a risk value, is a driver safety score.
Right. I mean, I'm remembering at least certain reasons why rating factor, as I think the board said, is broader than driver safety score. So the fact that the earlier application might describe in a relevant way the rating factor doesn't mean it's describing one particular kind of rating factor. So I just want to focus on the other point. Hmm. Am I remembering right that was it the 650 application? But I have a little trouble keeping track of all of the numbers.
There's a lot to keep track of.
That it does describe an estimated cost. And is it right that if that description of an estimated cost were a description of a driver safety score or the companion term in claim 33 or something, that would undermine the board's conclusion? Or?
Yes, okay. That's right. I think this is a good time for me to discuss a little bit about the procedural error and what happened in this, in the way in which the board treated this. As the board went from driver safety score and driver safety data to then expand in its decision to institute to five different reasons for there being a lack of priority, and then narrowing down to interface module without a clear construction of what an interface module is, it conflated the two terms in a fashion that if we were going to address the terms properly through expert testimony or through argument, we would want to have the opportunity to do so based on what appears to be the board's new view of what is lacking for priority. So instead of...
I'm a little unclear. When they instituted, they relied on a number of grounds, including interface module,
no,
right?
Institution, yes.
Institution. And then your complaint is when they got to the end, they got rid of the other terms, but they maintained only the interface module, right?
And again,
is that your argument?
Part of it. The interface module.
So, I mean,
Judge Tarrant, I'm sorry.
I mean, just as a process thing, forgetting the substance of what's here, I mean, if the board institute citing various things, and then it weeds its way down, based presumably in part on your arguments, to only one of those because of the arguments you've made, your view is then you get to start over again?
No. What happened was when the board said interface module in the final written decision, as Judge Toronto pointed out, there was a lot of further discussion about, well, it's not an interface module that has this, that, and the other, particularly a driver safety score or driver safety data.
But wasn't that part of the back and forth going back in terms of the reply and your friend's response? I mean, that didn't just come out of nowhere and no one had ever heard of that, right? That was part of the give and take in the proceedings that preceded it.
It was somewhat part of the give and take. Driver safety data was not part of the board's institution decision, driver safety.
No, I'm talking about what happened between the institution decision and then the final decision. So there was give and take, which led the board. So was it a shock? Was it the first time? It wasn't the first time you had heard it. It was. I mean, I guess I'm wondering, even if new grounds for rejection somehow applies here, why this would fit into that box, even if it were applicable.
The box it would fit in would be to give us an opportunity to fairly discuss the arguments relating to driver safety score and fairly discuss the arguments relating to driver safety data separately, because the board has conflated them in the final decision. In other words, the board didn't address them separately. The board pulled them together. And in that commingling, we would want the opportunity to explain why, in the commingling, through our experts or through argument, there was error. And we didn't have a chance to do that. It was a commingled attempt that brought together driver safety score and interface module in a rather confusing fashion in the board's decision.
Okay, why don't we hear from the other side? We're in the rebuttal.
And the other thing is the board did not clearly identify driver safety score with respect to the charges algorithm example of an interface module, but merely paraphrased the rest of the claim. So some of the things that the board did in its analysis were not the type of...
She's just reminding me you're into your rebuttal time, but you can finish the sentence. It's your time to do it.
All right.
You
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was into my recall.
May it please the court. With respect to the appeal concerning the 598 patent, as Your Honor recognized, priority is the only question, it's dispositive of the appeal. The arguments that Progressive is advancing here, both with respect to the claim construction of driver safety score and the argument that somehow driver safety data might be entitled to an earlier priority date, even if driver safety score were not, are both waived. Neither was preserved before the board. With respect to claim construction, I cite the court to page A3118. This is the patent owner response filed by Progressive.
Can I just ask, I thought that I was reading you to suggest that a claim construction argument fully made and cleanly rejected at the institution stage must be raised again after institution. And I can imagine that a system might work that way, but in the absence of some clear notice from the board that you have to rehash issues that you've fully raised and have been cleanly rejected, we don't ordinarily require litigants in any form to make every argument twice.
Well, Your Honor, I think that there is a difference in the procedures under the AIA that...
Does something in the regulations say any argument that you made at the institution stage, doesn't matter that you made it before, clean slate after we institute, and you have to make all arguments again or you have waived them?
I'm not aware of a regulation to that effect. In the Versada case that the court recently decided, they did hold that the party had waived an argument because it did not advance it again in the patent owner response in response to the institution decision.
What argument? I don't remember which. There's a lot in that.
Yeah, there is, and I'm forgetting what the specifics were. But here, I think what's significant is the way that the procedure is laid out is that there is, by its nature, only a tentative decision by the board in the institution decision. And we know that Progressive
That's why, I can imagine it would be sensible. But in the ordinary course, there are a lot, you know, in a trial, you know, pretrial claim constructions, they're subject to modification later. That doesn't mean you have to keep raising them at every stage, including a jury instruction stage. So if there were clear notice in which the board said, forget everything we said at the institution stage. If you want to object to it, you've got to use some of your pages in the patent owner's response to do it, then that's one thing. But you know, knowing waiver by virtue of not re-raising something that has been clearly argued and cleanly rejected?
Well, a couple of responses to that. First of all, Progressive understood that it could contest issues that were decided in the institution decision as it did with level of risk.
We're not talking about could, we're talking about have to.
The board certainly understood that Progressive, when it stated on page 3118, Progressive will apply this construction for purposes of this proceeding.
Right. The board did understand. It said it agreed. Forget about what the board understood. You're saying they waived something.
Well,
waiver is something that usually you have to have notice about an obligation to do something and then fail to do it. And I'm not seeing why that's the case.
Well, I think here, to the extent that Progressive believed that the board had overlooked something, Progressive could have sought rehearing before the board, and it did not do so. And again, I think that there is something important about the structure here. Liberty, under the procedures before the board, does not have an opportunity to file a reply to the preliminary patent owner's response. The preliminary patent owner's response is filed to the petition, and then the institution decision comes down. Then, in the patent owner response, the patent owner lays out all of the arguments that the patent owner has in rebuttal to the institution decision. It is only at that time, after the patent owner has filed two 80-page briefs, that the petitioner has the opportunity to file a 15-page reply to the arguments in the patent owner response.
How many pages are there in the petitioner's petition?
80 as well. So there's been 80, 160, 15. The petitioner does not have the opportunity to respond to arguments that were made in the preliminary patent owner response that have now been abandoned in the full patent owner.
You're talking about an argument on which in the institution decision the board agreed with what you wanted to argue.
Well,
why would you need to argue about that?
To the extent that Liberty would have had additional arguments to make in response to an argument, I think you're asking a question of procedure before the board. And I do think that, and I don't know if it happened in this particular proceeding. I do know that in some of the proceedings between Liberty and Progressive, that the board gave notice that any argument that the patent owner wanted to preserve had to be included in the patent owner response. And there's good reason to do so, because as happened here, the board is going to believe that an issue has been abandoned if the party indicates that it is applying that rule in the procedure. They could have simply noted, and we continue to stand on our objection. The board would have known if there was any need to further address that. They didn't. They relied on Progressive's agreement. Liberty relied on Progressive's agreement by not addressing it further. So I think that the issue has been weighed. Certainly the issue with respect to Claim 33 being different has been weighed.
Right. Can I turn away from this and focus on this estimated cost not being a rating safety factor? No, the rating factor.
Driver safety score.
Driver safety score, sorry. Why is it not? If the estimated cost in turn is based on certain driver behavior, why is the cost itself not a driver safety factor?
Well, as the board explained, the premium itself is the final answer. It is calculated based on the driver safety score. So the premium can't also be the driver safety score. Progressive tried to engage in what I would characterize as sophistry, sort of just engaging in definition upon definition that sort of turns the world upside down. And they said, well, a driver safety score is a rating factor, and a rating factor has been defined as something that is used to determine a premium, and therefore a premium necessarily includes a driver safety score. And that's simply not true.
It's not sophistry, it's just an erroneous Venn diagram.
There we go. Better characterization.
Well, take rating factor out of it. What textual evidence in the claims or the specs indicates strongly or otherwise that an estimated cost is not a driver safety score?
Because under the terms of the 598 patent, the driver safety score is used to calculate the premium.
And the premium is not the same as the estimated cost.
They're
going to be related, but everything is related here.
That's true. In the 650 application, there certainly is, I guess one question is, are we accepting or are we not accepting the board's construction? Because I think that even if that issue is preserved, the board's construction of driver safety score is warranted. The term that is being construed, or the phrase being construed, is responsive to a request to quantify driver behavior by processing the selected onboard vehicle data to render a driver safety score. Both the terms quantify and score connote numeric and calculation. I noticed that in their reply brief, Progressive cites a dictionary definition of quantifier and quantity and suggests that neither support the notion of calculation. When a party cites definitions of words that are not at issue in the claim, my antenna go up and I look at the same dictionary's definition of quantify, and it defines quantify as to find or calculate an amount. Similarly, score in that same dictionary is defined as a number of points. So both of these terms suggest, as the board rightly concluded, that there is, for a driver safety score, some manner of calculation of numeric points that is being applied. And that was supported further by the specifications and the additional text that was added. But between the 650 application and the 598 application, the Progressive added 12 new figures, 13 columns of text, most of which is addressed specifically to this feature of the 598 patent. And specifically, figure 9 is the figure that demonstrates the driver safety score. And it is indeed a calculation of weighted figures, 0.5% to one measure of safety, 0.25 to another measure of safety, 0.3 to another measure of safety. Add them up and you get driver safety score. That's window 918 in figure 9. So the board had ample support for its construction of this term in the claim language and in the specification.
Can I just, I'm going to just press on this just a little bit more, and I think I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record. So an estimated insurance cost, that's a number. It has a dollar sign in front of it, but so what? And why is an estimated insurance cost not a driver safety score?
Because, Your Honor, it may be, but it is not necessarily. That's the problem. The 650 application is, by its own terms, rooted in the old way of thinking about insurance, which was actuarial class. And what it said the 650 application was doing was that it It was an object of the present invention to generate actuarial classes and operator profiles related thereto based on actual driver characteristics of the vehicle and driver as represented by monitor recorded data elements for providing more knowledgeable enhanced rating precision. So it's actuarial classes. They're making actuarial classes more accurate, more specific, but it's rooted in this notion of actuarial class. One can calculate a premium or even an estimated cost of insurance, which is just the precursor to the premium, based on actuarial class, without any need to go through the process of calculating a driver safety score, as the board rightly held. And because a driver safety score is reflected I think it is related to this notion of rating factor, the description, specification rather, in the 598 patent, this is at A112, column 22, 18 through 22, says a rating factor such as a safety score. So driver safety score is one version of a rating factor. It may be one version of a way to calculate an estimated cost.
Am I correct that another version of a rating factor would be an automobile safety score?
That's true, because there is this distinction that's being drawn between this, what this is claiming is something that is specific to the driver. And that's why we say that the word individualized is appropriate here, because it's not about actuarial class. That is the invention of the 598 patent, or it's the claimed invention. Of course, we know now that Burge and Nakagawa invented it first, but that is what was claimed. That was what was different from the old actuarial class. Actuarial class can be smaller or larger, but it's all about sort of a group of people. Driver safety score is calculated for the individual. And although, again, it may have been done, the 650 application may have been done with such a calculation, it was not, there is no written description of that. All that's described is calculated an estimated cost and then ultimately a premium based on these more accurate actuarial classes. Again, this is at A211. It says, it provides a classification rating of operator unit in an actuarial class, which has vastly reduced rating error over conventional insurance cost systems. So again, actuarial class is how the 650 application characterized it, not individual driver safety score. Driver safety data, if I could just briefly, because it was referenced a number of times by Progressive. The board's institution decision singled out driver safety score, said there was no written description in the 650 application, therefore none of the independent claims were entitled to priority on that basis. And the board specifically referred to claim 33 as one of those independent claims that was not entitled to priority because of the absence of written description of driver safety score. If Progressive had thought that claim 33 was different, it was required to say something about that in the patent owner response. They did not. To the contrary, they have a claim mapping chart that treats driver safety data in with the representative claim 1 language about driver safety score. They actually do single out two other claims, claims 48 and 78, as non-representative claims. They do not single out claim 33 is a non-representative claim. That argument as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, if you're here to talk process, I guess there are a few issues that have come up.
I finally get to say something. May it please the court.
Yes,
I was hoping I didn't lug all this stuff on the metro for nothing. The point of instituting trial is so that the board can render its final written decision under 328. That is where the board explains why the claims are or are not unpatentable. So in this particular case, trial was instituted. The sole issue was priority. Progressive filed an extensive patent owner response, almost 50 pages of why its claims were entitled to priority to the 650. application, including interface module. The board renders its final written decision, and it discusses the issues that Progressive has raised. That's what Congress contemplated when it wrote the statute. That's not procedural error. The corollary to that is the institution decision under 324 does not purport to limit the board's analysis in the final written decision. This isn't a scenario where we institute trial for the sole purposes of trying to figure out whether or not they got the institution decision right. The point of the institution decision, frankly, is captured at A3074, which is the last page of that decision. And it says, here's why we're ordering trial under 324. Here are the grounds. 102 under Nakagawa, 102 under Burge, 103 under Burge and Herod. Trial gets instituted. At that point, the world's your oyster if you're the patent owner. You make the arguments that you think are pertinent as to whether or not you can defend your patent. They probably will be, the corollary to this is the institution decision, in an effort to be helpful, will give you the board's preliminary analysis of the issues that you've raised. But that analysis is exactly that, preliminary. It's not a rejection. It's not a binding statement on unpatentability such that when it gets to the final written decision, it's stuck with what it said there.
No, I know, but there've got to be some limits. The board just can't come up with something new and different than hasn't been the subject of some discussion or opportunity for the other side to respond in its final decision.
And that's
correct?
Fair, Your Honor. And in this case, for example, this interface module priority question clearly raised. The preliminary response raised it. The board addressed it in its institution decision. Patent owner response addressed it. The reply addressed it. I mean, this was vetted thoroughly.
Can I just say, I think I'm a little confused about what procedural issue we're actually talking about in this case. This case involves nothing of that new ground of rejection.
You know, Your Honor, that's an interesting point because I didn't think it did either. But the discussion in the moving case sort of had a flavor of the board not only reached outside the petition institution decision, but then it shifted grounds from the institution decision to the final written decision, which had that new grounds flavor.
I think there's something there. It's not as drawn out and it's not as
that
detailed as in groups 1 and 3, but there is this little piece, and I think your friend talked about it, just dealing with the interface module piece of it.
Judge Toronto, your question actually hit on something that, as I was sitting there, gave me some pause, but since it seems to have been fleshed out, you're correct. If you read that blue brief, you will not see an argument that somehow there's...
Right, so in the statement of the issues, the blue brief says the board legally erred by sua sponte raising the issue of written description support from the interface module. When did the board do that? In the institution decision? It did.
I think that's their argument, and as we discussed in our blue brief, that's a challenge to the institution decision, which of course under Quozo was categorically foreclosed. And even if this court were inclined to reach it, as I detailed in my brief, they raised it. So I don't know what the board is supposed to do. If you file a preliminary response and you make arguments, the board is going to engage them at some level. And you can't complain procedurally the board erred by doing something I asked it to do. But that is a challenge to the institution decision, which Quozo precludes. The other thing I'll add, too, that on the moving, my friend made the argument that the board commingled driver safety score and driver safety data. This referenced the fact that Claim 33, among all the independents, has the data and not the score. Well, the reason why, if the board commingled, that's because Progressive commingled. As we detailed in our brief at 14 to 15, all of the arguments that Progressive made for the independent claims, which is one and includes 33, relied on the same disclosure for these pertinent limitations.
And you in your brief have not addressed this question that I was harping on about estimated costs being or not being a driver safety score. Is that right?
I have the cover of saying no, we did not address that. Okay. So if there are any other further questions about the procedural issues, good time. Thank you.
Your Honor, as to the point of the estimated cost of insuring the event, that's at A212 in the 650 specification. And that is something that is admitted to be disclosed. It's something that...
Right, the question is whether it constitutes the thing claimed. So I'm not entirely sure, well, I should say I'm not really sure that I understand the chain of logic that says specifically an estimated cost cannot be a driver safety score, but the general idea seems to be the driver safety score is something that enters into an estimation of cost and other things, and the estimation of cost will take account of driver safety and automobile safety and other things, so it can't really be the same. So what's your best argument for why the estimated cost can nevertheless be a driver safety score?
And while you're doing that, do it as a logic exercise as well. When I made that Venn diagram comment, I was specifically talking about that basket of other possibilities, automobile safety, for example.
Okay. Remember, we have two arguments on this, estimated cost and also classification rating. An estimated cost would be based on some type of rating, a classification rating. It's admitted that a classification rating is disclosed at A 212. The classification rating is discussed in Claim 40 as being a rating factor, which is a type of driver safety score. And so a rating factor driver safety score is something that's implied as it's used in this specification to relate to something that is a driver safety score.
Okay, can I ask, the board said, and I'm reading from A27, page 27 of the final written decision, there is no dispute that an insurance cost is not a driver safety score. Is the board wrong? There is, in fact, a dispute about that, or?
Well, insurance cost requires a rating, and this is where I think the emphasis is on the rating factor. I don't believe we're saying that an insurance cost by itself necessarily is a driver safety score. It is a numerical number, but the insurance cost is necessarily based on a rating factor. That rating factor is a driver safety score. The score does not have to be a numerical driver safety score. It simply can be something that's quantified as it is in the specification as high, low, excessive, or otherwise. And when you look at driver safety data, data makes it clear that you do not have to have something that's quantified as a score. There's a difference between driver safety data and driver safety score, and the board recognized that difference and said that driver safety data is broader than driver safety score. So that's our argument. And as to the waiver issue that was raised, that's discussed in our gray brief at pages 20 and 21. We separately provided written description support for all of the claims, including claims with the driver safety data, claim 33. And this is something that we believe has been preserved. So if the board does, if the court does find the driver safety data is disclosed, then that will support claim 33, separate and independent from the other claims. I see that
Thank
my
you.
Time is up.
All right. We thank both counsel, and that case is submitted.